but it's still coming across like the prison tunnel vision. I try to fool these bucks, but they don't wanna listen. That's the reason the system making this paper from the prison, and that's the reason we living where they don't wanna visit. With the dope slang, keep playing like Sonny Liston. The money missing in his mouth.
Motherfucking business is, nigga. Yeah, all you hating ass niggas with your sneak dissing, nigga.
Sneak dissing.
That shit don't get you on, it don't get you hurt, nigga.
Your
if you a hater and you know it, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Y'all nerd rapping ass bitches.
Fuck
I'd rather
you,
listen
nigga
to your instrumentals, nigga. Bitch ass nigga.
Do something, nigga.
CD. I'm here now. You old news. Got a couple Porsche trucks, couple old schools.
Yeah.
I line your ass up, push the tape backwards. Cause I'm a real nigga, and I don't like rappers. And that ain't this, and this ain't that. And bitch, I'm strapped. Run with real niggas that'll cut your throat. And they don't drink Pepsi, they just sell coke. All I do is talk, bro, it's like my brain on drugs. See me out, nigga, I do my thing in clubs. Listen up, Jesus got a little riddle. Stack of $20 bills, two bands in the middle. All the gangsters, they gon' ride to this. They gon' grind to this. They gon' shine to this.
Hey,
this is gangster music.
Yeah.
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 All the hustlers, they gon' ride to this. They gon' grind to this. They gon' shine to this.
Hey,
this is hustler music.
Yeah.
This is hustler music.
Yeah.
This is hustler music.
Yeah.
This is hustler music.
Hey.
We don't talk on the phones cause it might stick. Gotta play for the seven, call him Mike Dick. Dirty birds, nigga, we play with them fouls. Know some niggas in Decatur that pay for them fouls. Talking young, hungry niggas, eat your whole plate. Jesus, place the order, niggas, eat your whole plate. You got me misconstrued, all fucked up. Jump out, hit the switch, like your ass up. Carbon 1-5 with the 100-round drum. Got plenty for any nigga think he wants some. We don't leave him at the house, we bring him out. My chain for your life, we can swap it out. All the gangsters, they gon' ride to this. They gon' grind to this. They gon' shine to this.
Programmed lemmings, everyone is marching like drone robots, biological androids, off the edge of the cliff. And so the system is now shifting into depression. They're now shifting into admitting we're in a depression. But don't worry, they've got a plan to fix it. If we'll just pay carbon taxes, this is being announced everywhere now in the last week, If we'll just pay carbon taxes to the very same private six banks and give them global government power, that's now a quote, global governance, global government, they've got a plan that'll fix it and they'll loan you more money. So they've got a plan, more taxes that'll further stall the economy, and carbon taxes selectively enforced on anybody they want. And then when things get worse, they'll have more government as the solution. And then when things get worse after that, they'll have more solutions which will make things worse. This is all being done by design. And the bureaucrats that are left are the hardest, meanest, most vicious enforcers, and they're going to squeeze the blood out of you, and they're going to take your farms and your ranches. They're going to harass the Amish off their land. They're going to take your children for abortion rackets in the United States, England, and Europe before your baby's even born. They're already tracking you through the medical system have actuaries on what color the child's eyes and hair are going to be and what family wants it. They've already got little computer programs on what trumped-up charges to put on you. Until we wake up to the fact that we are the food, that's what tyranny is. Crooks take over government, and the people are the food. We are the slave labor. We are the cannon fodder. This is tyranny. We know what it looks like. The cameras, the microphones hidden in lampposts, the children trained to spy on their parents, thumb scanning to get school lunches, to get library books, to go in the tanning salon, or to go to work and clock in and clock out. We know what tyranny is. They just phase it in, where all new cell phones track you in real time, and the NSA dials in and listens to you with keyword software. You want a cell phone? They all have it. That's the way it is. Standardized worldwide in international agreements in 1996. It's all standardized. We had to buy a Byzantine old-fashioned punch-in clock, and I was trying to buy a new one from the one we bought a few years ago, and it just doesn't exist. Every system is thumbprint. See, that's how they get you. They're now coming out with ATMs all over the world where you must thumb scan to get the money. And everything you do is tracked and controlled, and it trains you to completely phase out of the cash. And then you're fully under their control. Everything you do being tracked. Everything you do being traced. Now they know your habits. They know what you're purchasing. They've got a better psychological profile on you. They can turn your thumbprint off. I mean, do you understand that criminals took control of society and the banking system and the issuance of currency and credit a long time ago? And they figured out that, well, when we do engage in this Ponzi scheme by design, and when we do make everybody bankrupt and poor so they will be forced onto socialism and government plantations and reservations, that when we do this, they're going to rebel. And so we've got to shut down the farms, the ranches. We've got to shut down the industry. We've got to shut down the factories. We've got to get everyone dependent before we pull the rug out from under them. And we've got to have Pentagon-designed microphones at four-way stops, even in small towns, nationwide for at least a decade. They have hundreds of thousands of microphones hooked into the NSA in parks and in malls and on street corners and in businesses, just everywhere hooked into the NSA, listening to everything you're doing. And if somebody complains and says, why is there microphones on that camera that the feds put in with this local grant? They say, oh, that's a gunshot detector. Just a little plausible cover story. Doesn't matter that you go 1 millimeter beneath the surface and it's all admitted it's NSA, all admitted that they're tracking everything you're doing with high def, omnidirectional and shotgun mics from hundreds of yards away, recording everything you say and sending it through behavioral control analytical systems that gauge your tone. Oh, yes, when it hears you whispering, that's what it hones in on. And then the public finds out they're actually recording it and listening to it and running it through NSA computers, and they say, well, this way we'll stop family violence. If we hear someone cussing at someone or we hear someone sounding angry, we go ahead and alert police. And now they're coming out admitting, oh, and then when the camera is now able to zoom in on the person who sounds angry and then face scans you, it takes a digital image in the high-def camera, uploads it instantly. London admitted 5 years ago they have these, runs it against hundreds of thousands of people in the local area, then runs it against larger databases in seconds. Oh, Mr. Johnson, you were seen yelling at your children. Well, yeah, they were running out in the street. That's abuse. We're going to take your children.
Money just changed everything. I wonder how life without it would go. From the concrete, who knew that a flower would grow? Looking down from the top and it's crowded below. My 15 minutes started an hour ago. Truth over fame, you know I respect the blatant shit. When I hear him talking, I just don't know what to make of it. Hate is so familiar to me, I'm slowly embracing it. Doesn't come natural, bear with me, it could take a bit. Yeah, and my dreams are who I'm racing with. But you can see I'm pacing it, so that I'm always chasing it. Wayne put me right here, that's who I get the paper with. I hope that my success never alters our relationship. Yeah, this life is something I would die for. October zone, but it's looking like July 4. I just wish they let you try it first. This time I'm really going off. Fireworks.
Oh, today it begins. I've missed them before, but won't miss them again. I keep having those same dreams. And I think that I just realized what it is.
KLN listeners, it is the 7th of July, 2010. You're listening to CKLN Rude Awakening Morning News Show here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.fm online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Here on Wednesday, July 7th, 2010, a special show for you. Hopefully you enjoyed the Jeezy to Jump Us Off with Gangsta Music. Might be my favorite song in the world. And I've written some of the best stuff I've written to it, and people have seen it, and they've gone, that's good. And I can see it in her eyes. And so why though? Why? What the hell? You know, it's not particularly, you know, trying to teach me anything. You know that song in particular, all the husbands are gonna ride to this, they're gonna brag to this, they're gonna shine to this. This is gangster music. I'm not learning, you know, important facts about the Bilderberg Group. Or important facts about, Pentagon involvement in illegal criminal wars overseas or war for oil or whatever. Why would that song do it? Well, I'll say this. First of all, before I say anything. At this point, you know, we're basically a secret society had a public parade yesterday on University Avenue, the Shriners. There's a bus that said all Shriners are Masons. And it was a lot of fun. I was there. I felt a little bit, bad in the sense that it really felt like a family picnic. And it was a family picnic, a bunch of old white people, and I'm just sticking out like a big brown sore thumb. But I'm being polite. I'm being my usual nice, polite self, and I am enjoying what's going on. Because it's hilarious, and it's amusing, and this is how they party, and once in a while they show us. So, you tie this in with the G20 martial law recently, the Queen being here, and the symbology that the Shriners celebrate, which, you know, by all accounts, yeah, I don't know why a bunch of old white guys from Idaho, Ohio, Cleveland, Nebraska, you know, Toronto, Regina, Saskatchewan, you know, and there's some black guys there too, just a little, you know, a few from New York actually, in the Black Mecca chapter of the Shriners that came to this. But this is the North American Shriners Convention. The Shriners are the guys in the red fezes. They do some charitable work. They got Shriners hospitals, you know, going for the kiddies, as they advertise. So, you know, the reason I tie this into that is that everything's getting sort of more public these days. You know, these guys celebrating their Babylonian iconography in amusing and enjoyable ways. It's actually worth going to a Shriners parade, because they are kind of fun to see a bunch of old guys in go-karts racing around and dressing like clowns and Vikings and on horses and some choppers or mini choppers and so on. So it's amusing. I talked to an officer just walking by, noticing, you know, the Queen and University area was blocked off. I just asked him what time and where is the parade, and he was nice enough to tell me. Ironically, he was just one of the guys from a video from PressForTruth.ca, Dan Dix, Brian Law, Steve Davies, among others at Press for Truth, doing great work before the G20 and during the G20, but he was one of the guys in those videos because I was recognizing him from the video. I watched on Monday before Dan and Brian were on Word of Mouth Mondays that I guest hosted at 7 p.m. here on CKLN. So anyway, but whatever, he's a nice guy, nice to meet. Right before I asked him a question, there was another brown dude there, middle-aged brown dude. And he comes over, and he says to the guy, silver-haired, glasses, friendly-looking white dude, says, excuse me, officer. Yes. Why? Can you answer me one question? Sure. Why did you not stop the police cars from burning? I was right there behind him, just kind of amused by the whole thing. And the officer said, you know, we were just following orders. You know, kind of kept it conservative, semi-apologetic, but you know, and there was that, and I was behind the dude, and so I kind of waited, but this brown dude, you know, wasn't exactly sure where to go from there. although he really should go call his, you know, city councilor. Or any civilian oversight of the Metropolitan Toronto Police and try and get some answers at least. Not even, if people are being ordered to do things to your community that are no good, then you got to track back the source of those orders. And in a world run by the New World Order, we're getting a bunch of New World Orders from our New World Orderlies. So, tying this all back into gangster music. All right, what is that? What the hell is the point of that song being my favorite song in the Omniverse? Well, I guess because it gets, it's consistent. And if you didn't hear the song, I apologize. Song by Young Jeezy, YoungJeezy. And I'm on this. I wrote, Tarpology 101, let's get it, years ago, based on Young Jeezy's Thug Motivation 101, because it works, and it's worked for other people, by the way, and it works for me, in the sense of, how do you get the Co-Jones to feel like you can handle this stuff, and how do you get consistent Co-Jones? Because when you get a song like that, where he's going as hard as he can about what he's talking about, you know, which is basically, drug dealing. Whatever. I mean, I have to drug deal. You know, I don't do things that songs tell me. I don't make love in an elevator just because, Aerosmith's song Love in an Elevator is on. And I don't fantasize about being somebody else because I don't need to. I'm doing my thing. And so my, the pointy-head point I'm trying to make with the whole gangsta head in music and the Shriners and the G20 martial law and the Masons and the whole thing and the weather in Toronto, which is beautiful but too hot, is I was only trying to get ahead. And so to get ahead,
the spotlight makes you nervous.
And to keep the spotlight from making me nervous, I get my mindset in a consistent, hardcore mood. And then I just redirect it. And so if that song's playing over and over again in my headphones or whatever at home, and I'm working on something, well, that type of energy, will be infused in my approach to the problem. And this is what I see as being important. More important than, and there's a million articles here that I'm going to break down for you in a sec. I'm going to give you over to Mike Rivera and Alex Jones to talk about the BP oil spill, because I don't talk about that enough. I know what it is. I've explained it kind of in a sentence or so a couple of times. And I just think that, the media making us upset about that is just another form of trained impotence. Because what are you going to do? It's British Petroleum oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. And you're in Toronto, or ostensibly anywhere. And what are you going to do? So it's one of those things where they can get us really frustrated about, one of the most serious environmental disasters in history, and leave us there. And to get out of that, it helps to find something. Now, I'm not proscribing, anything I do. I'm a unique individual. But there are certain principles that we can all espouse. So, if you're out there and you got nothing that can get you going, then find something. And these are just recommendations. But the mind control, and I hope we do mind control, the mind control is such that, we'll be completely and perfectly fine with our own failures and our own uselessness when it comes to our ability to help define our futures, protect what we have, and ensure that we have something in the future. And so, when I throw things out there, and I also know how what the reactions are, because I'll put up a show and it'll be like, Jamaicans provocateurs and something or other, and it'll get like 80, 90 downloads. And I'll be like, oh, okay, that was neat. And, it was a particularly good show. No denying that. And then I'll put up a show that says, can men handle this stuff? And I'll get like 5 downloads. I'm just like, oh, crap. And this is from the same, basic, groups of people that are bumping into my stuff, one would think, or whatever. And so it gives you an idea of what the problem is. The problem isn't information. The problem isn't even making the information interesting or being charismatic about delivering it. Jones does a good job, doing this. I do a pretty good job doing this. Alan Watt, Webster Tarpley on the female side, Carol Brie, Connie Fogle, Indira Singh, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Barbara Lowe Fisher, Dee Nicholson, tons of people out there that can put it down in ways that are entertaining. I guess to some degree inspiring, although, if that inspiration is just entertainment for the moment, then again, what's the point? So here on Wednesday, July 7th, just want to make that clear that one ought not be satisfied with their nothing. One ought not be satisfied with their nothing when there are some things out there that can get you going. And one ought not be satisfied with thinking that it's their nothing, because it's not.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups.
That's better. Sorry about that. I prematurely jonesed. Because it's not your nothing. I'm talking generally here, so don't take anything personally, Who the cap fit, wear it. But just because you're wearing it, it's not a big deal. None of this crap is a big deal, by the way. None of this crap is a big deal. It's all just obvious right now. You go to a Shriners parade, and there's a bunch of senior Masons there acting as silly as possible. 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old men, running around in red fezes, celebrating ancient Egyptian iconography. you know, and on, by driving around little go-karts, you know, homemade bathtub, you know, still, you know, just and it's all just, it's done for the show. So go enjoy yourself. You know, this is how they like to party. Once in a while they show us. And I was saying some things, so I was narrating a bunch of video. We had an hour of video there, then I ran out of video. And there's also ways you can move at these things where they accept you. You know, because I was there and I was getting looked at by all these, you know, old white American people from small towns. You know, going, what the hell are you doing here? And there wasn't 10,000 people there. The media will tell you that. There was like 1,000 people, you know, there. You know, max, you know. And, you know, maybe 1,500 just to be charitable. But this isn't their fault. They could have held it on young, and I've seen some. But this is more of a smaller thing. They just put 10,000 in the media. I'm just looking at, I just Google News Shriners and got the National Post Toronto timeline. And I got Shriners' tiny motorcycles and cars have big impact. 10,000 Shriners take to the streets for annual Imperial Parade by Jamie Poisson, staff reporter at the Star here. And again, Imperial Parade. These guys, this is all from the British. They're the only guys, you know, them and Star Wars, you know. They're the only guys that use the word Imperial. So keep in mind, you know, who's behind all this. And the fact the Queen's here. And she's the worldwide head of Freemasonry. The Freemasonic, the world's oldest and largest secret society fraternity. You just go to Ontario Freemason. They'll tell you that themselves. They'll tell you everything themselves. Everyone will tell you everything themselves. You know, the Toronto Star cover this morning, just walking in, says, you know, youth jail lockdowns suck, and blasted them. You know, right after the G20 protest, you know, they, the media, mass media, you know, again, individuals have done good work, but, you know, I see how they operate as a collective, to see how the intelligence network is operating them. You know, they came out right afterwards to say the Public Works Safety Act, or whatever the hell that thing was, where they could randomly ID people 5 meters from the fence, although really, it was anywhere in the damn city. You know, I was stopped at freaking Ryerson, right here, you know. Just my first little, you know, putting little posters up, my little glue stick, and two vans full of cops, and you know, roll up on me. And I was like, I'm not even close to the security zone, and so on. But all that was exposed as being, you know, a hoax. They didn't have those special powers. That legislation that was passed in secret, you know, sort of wasn't really passed in secret. And that's just a kick in the sack. You know, I mean, when they can tell you that they got the police to enforce laws that didn't exist, because if they were, you know, truly and honestly debated and challenged, they probably would have been struck down as unconstitutional. When they come back and just tell you that, you know, what the hell does that mean? Right afterwards. Yeah, for the week and whatever, when we had cops and troops and mercs and spooks roaming the city, 10,000 of them, 19,000, according to the Toronto Sun and other sources, you know, basically intimidating all of us. You know, can we really, you know, what's our reaction to that? You know, our reaction to that, it's supposed to be,
I'm about whatever, man. Fuck what they be talking about. Their opinion doesn't count. We the only thing that matters. Oh, so we do it how we do it. All up in the face, man. I hate to put you through it. I be up all night, whole crew's in here. Cause I don't really know who I'ma lose this year. Oh, man, I love my team. Man, I love my team. I would die for them niggas.
So yeah, I had no headphones on yesterday, just chilling, second up near much, working on a whole bunch of stuff offline in the notebook, and a truck drove by, you know, a truck drove by, you know, bumping that, and the hook came on, and I immediately just locked into it and started rapping, because I love this album. This is, by the way, the Drake Thank Me Later album, which I think deserves major kudos, because I've heard it a bunch of times. It's great. It's not the only thing I listen to, and I'm not trying to, you know, jock Drake for the sake of jock and Drake, because I don't jock Drake. I don't put pictures of him up everywhere. I ain't got a Drake tattoo. I don't scream, you know, for him at the mall. But the dude and Team Drake, you know, made, you know, one of the most anticipated albums of the year, and I think, you know, they made a good one in trying to live up to the pressure and the expectations. Did they? Didn't they? It's up to you. But if I had the opportunity to enjoy something that was worked very hard on, you know, then it just makes sense to me too. And plus, it's good. So there it is. But the point is that, you know, when they're poisoning our food, air, water, minds, bodies, and souls, you can't just settle for, you know, whatever smug nothing, you know, you've been sold. Because it's not yours. You know, getting pushed down is not your fault. But not getting back up? I don't know. You know, can I even say it is? Like, what will that do to people?
We the only thing that matters, so we do it how we do it. All up in the face, man, I hate to put you through it. I be up all night, whole crew's in here. I don't really know who I'ma lose this year. Oh, man, I love my team, and I love my team. I would die for them. I'm about whatever, man.
And so, yeah, you know, hit the bottom line is if you get knocked down, pick yourself back up. Many ways to do that. I'm recommending music. I'm recommending, though, just looking into your own. You don't need anything from me. You just need the idea that you should be looking for something, and that the reason you're not looking for something to get yourself going is because you are being programmed by the mass media and our cultural system and scientific indoctrination. Bertrand Russell said at one point that it would be as difficult for man to think of rebelling as it would be for sheep to think of rebelling against the process of eating mutton. And so
it's going to go public around the world just how completely this was messed up from day one. They're on BP's design to deal with this.
Rock jetties, sand jetties, and BP.
So here's a clip of Alex Jones and Mike Rivera talking about what's going on in the BP oil spill. I'm going to leave you for a bit with this to meditate on. But do keep in mind that our political, you know, and cultural impotence is not, you know, a result of our strong choices. You know, defending nothing and rejecting options is not us. You know, we're not doing this. You know, we're not doing this. This is not us. This is not like, oh, no, yeah, screw that. I'm a badass because I don't. We learn to do that. And so if there's any options out there to help us learn to do something else, like go screw these guys, which is a hell of a lot more empowering than being kicked in the sack on an increasing basis and then feeling badass because you can take it. Because once you get you're slapped in the face and then kicked in the sack and then they take your sack full of stuff, that's just how this works. But on that note, Mike Rivera on the Alex Jones Show, keep backing up this clip and playing it again as I want to go off on this, because I think it's the most important subject, because regardless of what I say on this show, you know, it doesn't matter in the big picture grand scheme of things. And I get to say whatever I want, and it's a privilege to. But there is a purpose. There is a method to my madness. And I hope that method is open and clear to everybody. I don't want any sort of misgivings about this. It's not about me showing off. This is not about my ego. This is not about anything. This is about, you know, what can we do for each other at this time in history to help us defend this country. For now, we can listen to Mike Rivera on the Alex Jones Show from the 6th of July yesterday, breaking down the BP oil spill, something of concern to all of us, and the latest on that.
...are blocking the states and BP from rock jetties, sand jetties, and Obama's approval rating has fallen even further. And, of course, that's his job, to be built up as a messianic savior, then to be destroyed, and a new puppet comes in. But why does the establishment want that oil to come ashore when the hurricane season kicks in here in the next month? Mike, what's your take on this?
I'm not so sure that they want the oil to come ashore so much as we're dealing with governmental arrogance. I like to call this disaster America's Chernobyl. And if you go back and you look at the Soviet Union's response when the reactor blew up, for the first several weeks there, they kept saying, no, no, we got it taken care of. We don't need any help. It was seen as a political negative to admit the situation was so out of control that they needed help from other countries. There is another aspect in that if you look at the specific methodologies that are being chosen to deal with this catastrophe, all of them are based on BP's desire to somehow corral up the oil and be able to resell it. That's why they're not bringing in the microbes. That's why they're not bringing in foreign skimmers that might wind up taking the oil back to their foreign home ports. We're seeing the use of this Corexit, which is not really a dispersant. It lowers the oil in the water to get it out of sight. We know the company that makes that is partly owned by Goldman Sachs. So it's all being driven by money and greed and an attempt to minimize the losses and somehow salvage the oil for resale. And the rest of it is just saving face. There have been so many things that were done wrong during this whole operation. I think one of the reasons they don't want any outsiders coming in from anywhere is that once the outsiders see how bad things are, it's going to go public around the world just how completely this was messed up from day one.
Well, Mike, I agree with you that the bureaucracy, not just of government, but of BP, slows everything down because everything BP does has to be about some business partner or subsidiary like Goldman Sachs, where just a year ago, the chairman of Goldman Sachs, as you know, but for some out there that may not, was also the head of BP. So these are Siamese twins we're talking about. And BP, it's come out, is paying its subsidiaries to do the cleanup. So they're saying, oh, we've spent $3 billion here with the cleanup, but they're really just using it as a write-off and also as a way to pay money into their subsidiaries. And the $20 billion they've agreed to is just a new derivative fund where they're going to basically just invest that in the market and then take the, quote, profits of that $20 billion and use it to pay for the cleanup. And then in the process, it is going to make the disaster much worse. And this really does show criminal negligence by Obama and by BP. But I think it goes further than that. I mean, not letting the counties and the cities and the states, and I don't have to go over the instances of this. Everybody's seen it on the news. Just last night I watched Anderson Cooper, and they had reporters there with giant mountains of rock that are there to block up the estuaries and save. You know, for those that don't know, Louisiana is like a maze of rivers and marshes and, you know, literally tens of thousands of square miles of that. They're not allowed to protect it. It says that, you know, even on CNN admits Obama is blocking it. So the only way to look at this is that they do want it to be as bad as possible. Or I guess you're saying that you just think they're completely oblivious.
Well, I think they're partly oblivious, but there is another agenda behind here, because over the weekend there was an announcement that the Environmental Protection Agency was forcing a whole bunch of Texas refineries to refile their environmental impact paperwork. There'd been this program in place for about 16 years under which the refineries were operating. And the EPA just canceled it. So now all the refineries have to halt operations while they go through that whole paperwork process of getting a new license to operate. Now, remember, just before the Deepwater Horizon exploded, the Obama administration was handing out waivers and exemptions for EPA requirements to all those Gulf drilling platforms. So there's one theory going on here that Obama is using this disaster to trigger an oil crisis and an oil price crisis as a means of blackmailing his cap and credit tax through Congress and through the American people. I mean, today you're seeing the headlines. They're talking about, oh, there's a heat wave in New England, and it's not just hot, it's dangerous. They're trying to scare us back into that cap and credit tax situation, because without that new tax, the federal government is running out of money. And so I think it's just like the way Obama is using the immigration crisis in Arizona to push through his amnesty program. I think he's trying to use the oil disaster and the refinery shutdowns to blackmail Congress into going along with this carbon cap and credit tax program.
Well, there's no doubt, Mike, that you're absolutely right. In fact, I dovetailed that with Senator Kyle 3 weeks ago in a speech saying, and we played it here, that he was in a private meeting with Obama and said, we're getting thousands of dead here on the U.S. side. Mexico has collapsed. The illegals are past Tucson. It's literally Wild Wild West. They're putting up signs saying the public can't go down certain highways or into national parks. And Obama said, yes, I know, the crisis is good. I'm not going to fix the problem down there or allow the states to fix it themselves until I've gotten my amnesty passed. So there you see a great window
into the mindset of these people of not letting a good crisis go to waste, as Rahm Emanuel said, and you have BP giving the suspicious orders that their own engineers told them would make the well come in early and cause a spill. You now have them blocking the aid effort for right up to 80 days now in just a day or two. You've got all that going on. And you've got Obama saying, cap and trade will fix this. Give me a carbon tax, which what does a new tax have to do with any of this? And you've got select top oil companies from the Associated Press article in 2000 when they sued and got the inner corporate minutes from 1995 and 96, where the Big Ten oil companies met and said, there's all these miners that are cutting in, you know, all these minor oil companies that are cutting in on our operations. Let's regulate for more regulations to shut down more refineries. Push for that. Let's fund environmental groups to do that. Let's fund environmental groups to not let oil come in with a new pipeline out of Alaska. And let's buy up refineries and shut them down to create an artificial bottleneck. And the public will never look for an oil company to actually be in bed with Obama, but we know it's BP that created the cap-and-trade tax in 95 with Ken Lay of Enron and Bill Clinton and Al Gore. We know they're the top globalist funding cap-and-trade worldwide. We know they've invested tens of billions in it. We know they're subsidiaries of Goldman Sachs. So absolutely, if you look at this, there's no other way to come away, but this is a crisis they're at least using to bring this in. But, Mike, expanding on that, do you think the evidence leans towards them actually blowing the oil well?
No, I actually do not. I know they would like the public to think that, because if there's some unknown and unknowable saboteur or terrorist that blew up the well, then British Petroleum is off the financial hook for all the damage it caused, and the Obama administration is off the hook for the negligence of allowing the MMS to just sit there surfing internet porn on their office computers while British Petroleum was just out there engaging in all this reckless behavior. There is one other aspect we need to look at, and this may account for a lot of the secrecy that we're seeing around the BP disaster, and that is we're hearing some reports that the Obama administration, as a quid pro quo for all those waivers, pushed British Petroleum to bring in the well sooner to offset a potential loss during the attack on Iran.
Well, we know they've been racing to drill new wells in the Gulf and on shore in the last year. Stay there. Come back and elaborate on that and where you think this well spill's going. Then we'll talk about Iran and a lot more with Mike Rivero and, of course, then your phone calls. Key information straight ahead. Stay with us.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter.
Okay, let's go back to Mike Rivero. Mike, you got cut off by the break. Go back into that point, because when I've studied globalist operations, they always hit on multi-fronts, and some of these have been declassified, and so we know that they have discussions about this will be good to jack up oil prices. It'll be a good distraction when we hit Iran. It'll be a good way to pass the cap-and-trade tax. It'll be a good way to get more power into FEMA and to shut down more industry in the United States for globalism. Let's go ahead and go with it. But we do know that 2 months before, BP gave orders to Anadarko and Halliburton, and that their own engineers said this will cause the well to blow, and it did start leaking 2 months before, and there's been a cover-up of that. So regardless, BP gave orders that they were told would cause it to blow up. Go ahead.
Yeah, basically it's been known long before the actual explosion of the Deepwater Horizon that they were encountering problems because they were drilling down deeper and into areas of far greater pressure than the technologies designed to deal with. A lot of what BP is using in the Gulf dates back to the 1970s. They haven't been upgrading their equipment because with that 75 million dollar cap on damages, there was no financial incentive to invest in putting newer safety equipment like acoustic decouplers, acoustic shutoffs, and things like that. But what we're hearing from certain sources is that even though they were experiencing problems, the pressure to keep going and to try and reach that oil was actually coming from the administration as the quid pro quo for all the EPA waivers and exemptions that were being handed out. And the story that we're getting is that the Obama administration wanted that huge reservoir of oil in the Gulf on tap and ready to deliver, because when they attack Iran, and by the way, Netanyahu's on TV right now screaming about why you Americans have to go kill Iran for us, it's going to disrupt oil traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, and the Obama administration wanted that Gulf oil online to be able to go to all the other allies around the world and say, don't worry about the disruption to your oil flow. We've got it covered from the Gulf of Mexico. You can come get all of your oil from British Petroleum while the Mideast oil fields are unavailable. And that's why, even though they were running into difficulties, the pressure to keep going and keep going and keep going was there. And now we've had the blow up, and we know that ever since the Deepwater Horizon explosion, the administration continues to hand out these exemptions and waivers and permits for more of these deepwater Gulf drilling operations to continue. I think this whole thing about blocking the drilling and then overturned by the court was political theater to make Obama look like he cared about the environment to the American people ahead of the elections. But the reality is the drilling is continuing, and they're still obviously moving to an attack on Iran.
Well, let me go back. Something that backs up your view on that is that we know Obama, out of 3,000-plus wells in the Gulf, we've looked the number up, it's over 3,000, that specifically he gave a presidential award for safety to that particular rig a month before all this happened. And now we know that rig was having trouble a month before that. It was, you know, it was having trouble 2 months before, and so a month before it blew out, they already knew it had problems. They'd already been out there, and so it's very bizarre that they're there giving them safety awards, even though they knew the well was already cracked and already leaking and having problems. And they, and I went and looked up the filings. They estimate between 2 and 4 billion gallons of oil is in that well. So it's basically 99% still full, 70-plus days in. And so they did know this was a mega, mega find. And that does make sense to, you know, to get that oil supply ready quickly domestically, because BP is at the top of the food chain. I mean, U.S. oil companies weren't ever allowed to have Alaskan oil. Only BP is allowed to have it for over 25 years. BP is predominantly owned by the Queen of England. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, there, why is this happening? Mike, how do you see this ending, though, as the hurricanes drive 150 million gallons or more towards landfall? If the media is hysterical over the small amounts that have come to shore, what's going to happen when that hits?
I think it absolutely is the worst environmental disaster in the history of the world. I don't think there's a thing they can do about it. We are continually getting reports from citizen investigators who are defying the heavy fines and Class D felony that BP has put out there for anybody daring to use a camera to show the extent of the spill. And we're finding out that what BP is doing is just putting new sand on the beach. They're not cleaning up the oil. They're not cleaning up the contamination. They're just putting new sand over it and taking a picture to say, see, it's all better. But every time the waves come in and wash the sand away, the oil is coming up again. They don't know how to deal with this thing.
You know what? Stay there. Let's talk about felonies if you try to videotape in America. Radio. We're also simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv in living video color. Joining us from Hawaii is Mike Rivera. We're going to your phone calls coming up here in about 10 minutes on a host of subjects. Mike's very well versed and intelligent fellow, and you can get his perspective and my perspective, or give us your perspective on any of the subjects you raise. Now, continuing here with the point you were trying to get at as we went to break concerning BP and where you see this crisis going, calling it the America's Chernobyl, One of our guests this week compared it to the Dust Bowl that we saw in the 1920s that populated California with Oklahomans and Texans and people from Kansas. I mean, definitely, if the oil spill, well, I mean, give us your take on it.
Well, you're absolutely right. In the economic and sociological sense, this is a new Dust Bowl. The Gulf Coast states, every one of them has been contaminated with oil. And it's important to remember that the danger and the risk is far beyond the tar balls and the brown sludge that you can see. Because along with those contaminants, there are chemicals coming out of the well in large volume that are invisible, that are dissolved in the water, including methane, hydrogen sulfide, even arsenic is coming out of that well. And that's a tasteless, odorless, colorless material dissolved in water. So when you see these tourism boards and the governor of Florida standing out there and pointing at the clean water and saying, see, it's safe to swim in, that's not absolutely a given. You don't know that without laboratory tests. But the bottom line is the economy of the Gulf Coast states is absolutely destroyed. Even the $20 billion that they're talking about having for compensation claims is a drop in the bucket to deal with that kind of damage. We're getting reports that the claim centers for British Petroleum are very hard to find and still have unlisted phone numbers. They're just putting so many roadblocks in the way. We're finding out now that all those people who volunteered their boats to go out and try and clean up the spill and the wildlife, the bottoms of their fiberglass boats are being etched through by the corexit dispersant and the oil itself. There's no plans to compensate these boat owners for the loss of their boats and their livelihood along those issues. It's just a huge disaster, and BP can't handle it. MSNBC is once again trying to bring up the idea of maybe nuking the wellhead. Nobody's really sure what effect that would have, whether it would really stop it or just make the matter that much worse. You were mentioning in the last segment how British Petroleum is owned by the Queen of England, and I find it rather interesting. She's in New York today for just 5 hours. That's a heck of a flight two ways to spend just 5 hours in New York. And I know there's an overt reason for her to be there to address the United Nations, but I kind of wonder if maybe she isn't talking to some of the local British Petroleum people about how they're going to deal with this mess, because I don't see any way that they've got to stop it. The well casing is destroyed. The drill pipe is destroyed. We know there's a subsurface blowout about 1,000 feet down that's beginning to seep up through fissures in the ocean floor. It's out of control. I don't think
I was just a bayou boy, raised as a soldier. Had to get colder, dad was barely older. Bolder than my brother, so clever. Joined the guard, wasn't really that hard. But it's that or the yard. Now our weekends turn to weeks. Now New Orleans reeks. I know my people are looking like freaks. Play hide and seek with the bodies. Politician paparazzi was a super dome Nazi. Tried to play it like a Yahtzee. They say we need peace, but they fired the police. Now soldiers say desist and cease. I'll get deceased. I'm on my knees every night. I wanna fight for what's right. But I'm staring at my city underwater every night. And black water rises when a crackhead in sight. Pop, pop from over there. He was putting up a fight. I ain't shutting up tonight. Gotta knuckle up and fight. But if I stick my neck out, the full of death out tonight. I put my check out of sight. Can't stand the blood money. Can't stand to see my blood run from me. I buy you boy. Now I buy you man. I need to take a stand. And that's why I ran.
Jack a bread line, I gotta get mine. Get food, get a home, get shelter. The world's helter-skelter, the cards that were dealt. We're a four-leaf clover in a Range Rover. So I'm saying, chill out, man, the war is over. Hope I'm sober, I'm on my own and I'm scared. Cause Uncle Sam really seems mad when he said, I dared to dream, like Martin once said. Now I'm scared to dream, or I'll wind up dead.
the next day. We say, who are late? Can we say police state?
Back, folks, here on Wednesday, the 7th of July, 6 days after Canada Day, and we're in the building. This is CKLN's Rude Awakening Morning Show. As your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. You're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM or CKLN.FM online or Rogers Cable Box 947, or you've potentially downloaded this MP3 from radio, the number 4all.net. Or archive.org. You can find this info at blackkrishna.blogspot.com. Just Google Black Krishna. My blog's got a bunch of weird stuff, but it'll give you an idea of my personality. You can take what you want and leave what you want. I wrote that song back in 2007, kind of on the 2-year anniversary of the Hurricane Katrina disaster in New Orleans, when martial law was more or less declared and guns were confiscated even in homes that were on dry land. Not that they should be confiscated at all. If there's a giant blizzard that hits Toronto and there's mass chaos here and possible looting or whatever in the streets, I want my gun. And frankly, we did have mass chaos here, and there was looting and rioting on the streets. And there was a bunch of business owners on Yonge Street who I saw on Saturday, June 26th, the height of the G20 protests, who should have had guns, who wish they had guns. Because if they'd had guns, there would have been some dead or at least scared black bloc protest terrorists, tourist protesters, likely police provocateurs or intelligence agency provocateurs or Merc provocateurs, based on how the whole operation went down. Yeah, it was Alex Jones and Mike Rivero on the BP oil spill, and this is my track, Bayou Boy Prayer for New Orleans, essentially about a soldier who leaves the National Guard based on what he's asked to do to his own city during the Hurricane Katrina disaster, and then gets caught up in a bit of a war zone that's been demarcated militarily. And that was, by the way, the instrumentals by Ty Guy Productions, Tyler Adams, Ty Guy, T-Y-G-U-Y Productions. Great producer. Worked with him on an album back then, sort of mini album, three songs, called The Most Dangerous Man in the World. It's a brown guy with a backpack. And it was a reference to some of the war on terror kerfluffling there, and how I thought, you know, I know there's going to be a day where if I'm on the TVC, I'm just going to get stopped because I have a backpack. And search it for it. So it is what it is. Here we are in 2010, 5 years after Hurricane Katrina proved that in North America, because that happened up the street. There was stuff going on in Iraq that sucked, and Afghanistan that sucked. The Iraq war has been going since 2003, I think April or March of 2003. So that's, you know, 7 years of carnage and destruction there, where, you know, the globalists at the top are playing the soldiers and playing the people of Iraq and Afghanistan, of course, which is slightly older than that, a few years older than that. I think they went into Afghanistan in October of 2001. So, you know, why do we put up with all this stuff? Well, again, We was raised to, but that doesn't mean we have to. So we do have options. Going to break down some news here for you folks. On the Shriners thing, just a couple of notes out there. Whenever you're dealing with, you know, groups of powerful people having a good time, and that includes, you know, 10,000 Torontonians getting wasted on a Saturday night, or, you know, a few hundred Shriners, you know, from across North America at basically a convention or reunion. With Curious North American Union Iconography, I saw a lot of them flying Canadian, American, and Mexican flags, and then another red, white, and blue flag that was sort of four squares with stars in each square. Very strange. Not sure. Going to have to look into that a bit more. But, you know, here in the New Age especially, you don't want to ruin anyone's party. You know, definitely don't ruin anyone's party. So I checked it out. I filmed a bunch. I tried to stay a bit out of their way. Even commented a bit, you know, sorry, you know, you guys are, thanks for this public, you know, display. It feels like a family reunion here. And that's not a bad thing, you know, at all. To be a part of, and then you just kind of stay out of their way a bit, and then you be cool. You know, there's no sense in wilding out there. And you know, you're not, you know, your better bet is communicating what you learn, in a natural environment to, people that need to know it and understand it. And so, you know, that was my thing. And they dispersed to Queen University, and, I ran to a bunch of the Sheraton Hotel when I went to use the washroom there. And whatever, and, you know, said polite hellos. A few of them recognized me in some way. Bunch of course, Toronto Shriners, and a bunch of course, police Shriners. And a bus again saying all Shriners are Masons. So, they're kind of the elder statesmen of Freemasonry. And again, when a secret society holds a big parade, it's worth checking out just to see what the heck these guys are into. But this does get us to, you know, where we are today. The Babylon system is still here, and they're playing tricks on us left, right, and center, because there's no way these Shriner folk would go to all this trouble to celebrate these images publicly or wherever, or wear them and the fezes, you know, the blood red fezes with Ramses on them for the Toronto guys, and all this sort of thing. And I'm on the Shriners website here. It says Ramses Shriners at ramses-shriners.ca. Brian Lawson here. Members, there's a membership forum, and you can rent their banquet hall, which is out on Keele Street here at New York University. I saw it a whole bunch of times. And I see the Grand Worshipful Master here and all these guys in their fezes. It's a bunch of old white dudes here. And they have things like first ceremonial master, second ceremonial master, director marshal, quartermaster, potentate's aide, you know, whatever the heck all these things mean. Some of it's military, because the marching is definitely military, so there's some of that. I think a lot of secret society stuff is frankly mind control. You know, you get people believing in the power of, you know, these entities or whatever, and then your closer connection to them, you know, if you're a priest or a successful figure in that type of cultural milieu, and then you can get people to follow you, and you can get people to do, you know, what you, you know, want them to do. So, you know, secret societies by and large to me seem like that, but this is about 100 years old, and it's multi-generational. And you could tell, and you just being in the environment. It was actually a fairly reasonable environment to be in, you know, kind of like going to a West Virginia barbecue and seeing a bunch of guys wild out on, you know, four-wheelers and stuff. Like, bunch of little go-karts, you know, a bunch of guys in suits and costumes, and mostly it was all male in the parade itself. You know, very limited, minimal police presence, but probably wasn't needed. There was crowds watching, not sure. A guy talked to me and said, I've seen these before, or whatever. And then I casually mentioned to him, oh, yeah, you know, when the secret society decides to hold a parade, you know, it's worth checking out. He's just looking at me like, oh, my God. You know, because I made the brief connection between this and masonry and the Egyptian symbolism, Babylonian symbolism, scimitars, you know, they're carrying on their hats, you know, they're dressed like, you know, Alibaba, some of these guys. You can't just go at this any more than you can go at any other culture of punks or Christians or Muslims or Jews or you know, goths or nerds or hipsters or you know, hip hoppers or whatever. You can't just go at their culture and say, give it up, it's evil. Because our whole culture was designed for us, you know, and here in the 21st century, we can recognize the 20th century grand design fairly easily because we have enough information about that. So what do you do? Well, I guess the best thing you do is, you know, maybe try and hold them to some of the principles they say they espouse to feel good about themselves. Because by and large, most of these people are good people. And you know, some of them know the shadiness going on, but hey, we all do. You know, we know the shadiness going on, you know, all around us and in the world and even in our own environments. And we don't necessarily, you know, decide to step up and, you know, we can act like we'd act by saying, this is how people should act. We can say the police, you know, instead of enforcing these laws, should stand up for the Constitution, Charter of Rights, and not. And it's like, and get fired? And then what? You know, and then hustle for a job in this economy? So, you know, it's one of those things where the information war about all these things is key. And tactically, these guys say they really care about kids. No problem. You know, get them hip to the fact that fluoride shouldn't be used in baby formula. Shouldn't be used by any of us, frankly. Montreal and Vancouver don't use it. Toronto should not use it. And definitely going to try and help make that happen along with other folks like Claudia and her crew at voteoutfluoride.com. Making it an election issue in this election year. It's in Toronto. Let's get hip to that. Roach and rat poison byproducts of the aluminum industry. They sold through a PR blitz in the early, mid, well, 1930s or whatever, 1920s. Sold to the dental industry. Hustled the dental industry into hustling it to us. 8 out of 10 dentists say don't use it, or say fluoride's good for your teeth. What do the other two say? It's always worth hearing. In a world full of lies and control of our culture by large corrupt institutions, including professional societies like the dental organization, the doctor organization, the lawyer organization. You know, these guys have connections to you know, industry and government that render them ineffective at fighting for you know, the rights, the values, the beliefs, and the working conditions of the people that they supposedly represent. So because they're compromised, we got to step up to the plate. And on these guys and the Shriners, just say, hey, guys, have you heard about, you know, the risks of vaccines? And about 25, 30 years of evidence on this. And I can cite that for you. And since you care so much about the children, and like many other people using kids in advertising and so on, I do, or stores that sell kids' clothing and whatnot, or toys, you know, maybe you should take a look at this, just so that you could be consistent with the principles that you publicly espouse. You know, now if you're a prick, you're a prick, you're a prick. Hey, it is what it is, and we try and minimize, you know, your impact and your presence. But you know, sometimes a couple of you know break through and you know, we got to deal with you. But if you say you're a good person, and you work for, you know, or you're part of an organization that's supposed to represent those values, then you know, no problem. If you have any sort of power in society, then I hope you do represent those values. I hope that, you know, the churches and all that are good. But if you're a Christian and you find out, you know, your church is corrupt, you can always go to a different church. So, you know, we do have options here. And same with these guys. They can always join a different lodge if, you know, one lodge is corrupt or infiltrated by nefarious elements and so on. And so as I passed the Masonic statue again this morning, taking the TVC streetcar up from Dufferin in College to here, Church in College, basically, passing the Bain College police station with the hermaphrodite police officer, as I can tell, sort of daintily leaning forward and finishing the last three bricks on the pyramid of the great work. We should take a look at what this great work is and take a look at where it's from and take a look at who's pulling the strings. Because based on things like the BP oil spill, the $28 trillion in bailouts received by the major banks of mostly America during the banker bailouts, according to Bloomberg, and that this works at about $30,000 to $35,000 per American, and that has benefited the whole country, way less than $30,000-$35,000 per American. And you add that up with the 70% off signs, the Eden Center, all over the place in the retail sector, and things are starting to come to a head. And I would predict, being a predictor, that within, you know, I'd say within a couple of months, Canada is going to get whacked really hard by this recession. I just saw an article on Yahoo News yesterday talking about how the loonie, which was predicted to be, you know, very strong, is actually going to start getting weaker. So these guys are wrong with all their predictions. And they're not worth trusting. Got to go to different information sources to find better, including Infowars.com, which says the lights are going out for free speech on the internet. So not only can you take information to people like the Shriners, that's objective, and then share the results of that type of communication with other people to sort of reveal the character of the organizations that are wielding a tremendous amount of influence over our culture. But you can also take all this stuff offline. Burn a DVD. It's worked so far. You know, whatever's worked so far is something that we can do. And, of course, there's more. And here in this election year, let's start taking these issues to our mayoral and city councilor candidates and say, no, we want some real stuff done this time. You know, this isn't, you know, you telling me you got a new job or, you know, you're on American Idol. This is you telling me you want to represent the interests of, you know, 4, 5, 6 million Torontonians, depending on how you, you know, how you measure that. And the same thing can be done, you know, everywhere in the world, for that matter, is to say, look, we're just not going to compromise on GMO foods, on vaccines, on fluoride, on aspartame, on the martial law conditions of the G20. Which today's Metro says that they are having an inquiry about. But again, I highly suspect that inquiry will be controlled because it's, you know, the person that, you know, when fake laws are passed here in Canada, you know, where the Public Works Safety Act, and then they find that it wasn't even really a law, you know, then you got to wonder what the hell is going on. Like, shouldn't somebody be arrested for that? You know? Shouldn't somebody be, I mean, is there anything, you know, shouldn't something happen? You know? So, you know, like, what is this inquiry nonsense? Like, what the hell is that? You know, there should be, like, wait a minute, you can't just pass laws that order our police to, you know, search us pretty much anywhere in the city, but especially 5 meters from that big stupid fence, which was absolutely ridiculous. You know, unless a protester was to hijack a tank somewhere, you know, carjack a tank in the middle of downtown Toronto and drive it towards a, you know, the summit, the Metro Convention Center. In which case, just keep a couple of Desert Eagles, AR-15s, whatever. Just keep a couple of, you know, heavy artillery on hand near the Metro Convention Center. And if anything is flying or driving towards it, you don't need a goddamn giant concrete and metal fence to stop it. Just blow the hell out of it. And you know, there's enough guys that are capable of doing that because our governments have trained them, and our, you know, after our video games did, and so on. So, you know, we are getting ridiculous, you know, situation after ridiculous situation thrown at all of us, and the cops can't be happy, you know, being ordered to do this and finding out it was not even a legal order; it was unconstitutional. And it was something that, and the government can do illegal things. They can even pass illegal laws. But on this particular law, they were so embarrassed to go through the hassle of trying to manipulate, you know, it, that they just kind of lied and said, yeah, we passed it. Everything's legal now. This Nazi fascist style, you know, papers, please, apartheid South Africa ID policy, searching people for doing normal things that people have normally done here for generations that are now all of a sudden illegal. The cops have got to be pissed off about this too. And so, you know, definitely keep an eye out for that because we are being set up by the majority of the media for a fight with them, as I see it. You know, but on that note, back to the internet. The lights are going out for free speech on the internet. Type the keywords internet censorship into Google News and you'll find results from Australia to Belarus, Turkey to Vietnam, Pakistan, Egypt, Afghanistan, Iran. Huge chunks of the internet are going dark as the Chinese model of internet regulation is adopted worldwide. And the United Nations, who is the big bureaucratic architect of a lot of our policy now, a kind of draft policy, and then legislatively, especially at the municipal level, again, why the local elections here in Toronto are so damn important this year. At the local level, and then, of course, provincial or state and federal level, you know, the politicians are told to, you know, go along with them and implement them. The UN is called China, the global model for the future, like the model country for the future. So what they do in China, in their form of, you know, socialism, commie capitalism, whatever, small lead at the top, huge police state bureaucracy, you know, and population told to shop and get used to it, if you can afford to, or slave and get used to it, if you're the majority of the population. That's where this is all going, if we don't get, you know, off our butts and get going. So that's what makes this this more pressing, you know, than ever at this time. And that's why people are wilding out. I saw a couple of guys on the street yesterday near Much Music with megaphones. Just two guys, one guy with a camera, another guy with a megaphone, I think. Maybe a third guy floating. But the guy with the megaphone saying, you know, we can't have this police brutality, we can't have this, we can't have that. But I was just looking at him carefully, because I'm not interested in just cheering for everything. Especially not when, you know, a bunch of things that were done have got us to this point where we're on the verge of world government. We have an apathetic population. Our media is basically telling us every day how in some way our government's kicking us in the sack. And so we got bigger issues than just cheerleading. And so, you know, I appreciate what the guys were doing in the sense of being, you know, it may be megaphone time. But then I saw the reaction of, you know, the 30 people around, 40 people around at the time yesterday evening after he left. And the reaction of these people was not of pleasure. They were not pleased by random yelling on a megaphone on their nice, tranquil Toronto summer day. And they don't like the protest model either. What they don't mind is what they don't mind so much is if you just sort of calmly and consistently, you know, share some information with them. You know, that they don't mind so much. And so, you know, the best thing to do, pass on a DVD. And they also don't mind if you decide not to talk about it with them, unless they want to talk about it with you. Because I've done this a number of times, where I've given people, say, vaccine exemption forms, and they got kids. And that's where it gets really touchy, because a bunch of guilt issues at not having known this or done this before, and so on. And so you just hand them a piece of paper, whatever, a couple of pieces of paper, DVD, whatever, and say, hey, man, check this out. And you don't bring it up. And you don't have to, you know, scrap with him. He doesn't have to talk to you about it. You don't have to compromise, you know, the current relationship you have. We can do that all throughout the country. You know, we can do that. We can do the communist nod. We can throw each other a gang sign, you know, an anti-NWO gang sign. Just individually co-sign to each other that, yeah, we know what's going on. Because the same thing happened in communist countries. The same thing happened in George Orwell's 1984. The same thing is happening here. You know, that happened in those, you know, fictional and real examples where people were looking to each other for subtle support when they were afraid to express it publicly for fear of, you know, A, the state, you know, catching you and suspecting you of being a, you know, potential problem for them and dealing with you like they, you know, like they deal with problems. And then there's of course, other people and social disapproval. And, you know, how much do you want to co-sign a vision of the world that will involve us doing more than we're doing right now? You know, to help make sure that it's getting better and not worse, because most of us at this point do feel it might be getting worse. So back to the, on the internet, because we might lose it soon. So that's why, again, it's worth getting, you know, it's worth getting some stuff done, get some stuff printed, get some stuff in your laptop, getting some information in case this goes down. Joe Lieberman has said, well, here we go. From Paul Joseph Watson at PrisonPlanet.com from yesterday, July 6th. Why should Americans concern themselves with countries halfway across the globe adopting Chinese-style net censorship? because under Senator Joe Lieberman's 197-page Protecting Cyberspace as a National Asset Act, the United States would formally mimic China's, quote, great firewall of web censorship. When Lieberman himself attempted to debunk claims that the bill provided Obama, and any following president for that matter, with a figurative, quote, kill switch to disable certain parts of the Internet, he explained that the government was merely seeking to emulate powers of the Internet already enjoyed by the communist Chinese. So, one of the reasons that we're being told that China and India are rising powers is because those are the models that we're slipping into. One is the Indian New Age stuff. And I got to tell you, my pops was just over there. Ma Dukes was just over there. And they were pissed at the garbage and the fact that people don't care and are throwing wrappers everywhere. I'm not trying to crap on every Indian people. And I love my country of origin culturally. But when you got problems, you got problems. And if I got a stain on my shirt, you know, I'm not going to use no Jedi voodoo mind tricks on you to try and convince you I don't. And you know, don't you, you know, politely say I don't either. Because then I'll walk around with it, and that might be worse. And so with India, it's the New Age movement, the recycled Hinduism, where we're all supposed to keep it happy all the time. Don't think about other people. Don't think about your environment. Don't think about anything. Just try and be happy and wander off and play and find things interesting and amusing. And if anything serious does come up, then make sure you shut the person saying it down quick. You blank out, you know, you look away, you feel weak, you know, you feel uncomfortable to make them feel uncomfortable just because you do. And then you can't handle anything. But strong people are happy. You know, people that can handle real ish, you know, can be happy because they can handle real ish. So the rest of the time, life is gravy. And so that's the New Age on India's side as well as, you know, other reasons. And then on the Chinese side, it's their model. China's doing well. China's economy. Because in the new, you know, and at the G20, which no one ever talks about the policy there, they were deciding on a new global financial system of control. And I'm getting a call coming in. I don't know where the next host is, so I apologize for all you jazz fans out there. I'm going to take this call and back in a sec. And we're back, folks. To all you folks out there looking for Wednesday morning show with Ron Gaskin, apologize. It's 20 minutes after 7, and this is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna from CKLN's Rude Awakening, going off semi-evangelically, as I usually do. Not this long, though. I usually go maybe 5 minutes over or whatever. And so my apologies if you were looking for jazz and you found me ranting, because, again, I don't want to do that to anybody. But what I will say is this, is I was looking, and I'm looking at the windows in front of me here in the broadcast studio at CKLN Radio at Ryerson University, and I cannot see the next host. So what I'm going to do for you out there, for you jazz fans out there, as I have done before, is I'm going to leave you for a sec and I'm going to wrap up my show as I normally do, and then find 4 hours of jazz for you to make sure that you are fulfilled and nourished as you normally would be at this time. And as for what I'm on, it is what it is. And hopefully at some point, you can find a way to understand it that you can appreciate and that you can use to empower you to help yourself and others handle it. But right now I'll leave you with a bit of Drake with the song Karaoke while I go fish around to see what's going on. And then I'll definitely serve you up some jazz, hopefully as you'd like it.
ironic that the girl I wanna marry is a wedding planner and tells me my life is too much and then moves to Atlanta. Damn, of all the places you could go, I just thought you'd choose somewhere that had somebody that you know.
And we're back, folks. Okay, so here on Wednesday morning on CKLN Radio, 88.1 FM, CKLN.fm online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. I'm going to leave you with a song about the G20 just to wrap up my show. A couple of websites to shout out as well. Infowars.com for more on the internet and where it's going and if it's going on the BP oil spill. And on the Shriners, just type in news and Shriners and check it out and figure out who they are and figure out why they're into that. But for all groups out there, it's tough to do it within a group. But if you're outside of the system, then you can definitely question vaccines. I can question vaccines because I'm not a nurse or a doctor. And so there's nothing at stake for me socially or professionally or whatever. But if enough of us do, then they won't have to use them anymore. And that would be a coup. If nobody in the city got shot anymore, that would be awesome. So Infowars.com for a great overview of what's going on in the world today. 90% rare mainstream news, because journalists are trying to do their best. But when the media as a whole puts out a message, it's propaganda. Individual stories are more likely truth. So stuff everywhere that's meant to reach all of us and meant for all of us to talk about is likely propaganda, as every fictional and real example has explained. Naturalnews.com for amazing health news. Trendsresearch.com for great wealth news. CanadianHealthFreedom.org for great health news. And internationalforecast.com for great wealth news. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com for great news on philosophical news, basically. And Alan Watts' great radio shows. HenryMAKOW.com for some big picture overviews, some excellent stuff on gender relations. ThePinkCross.org as well on that. And VigilantCitizen.com on that as well for basically celebrities, how our industry is controlled. Since we're all, celebophiles, star lovers, many of us anyway, it's worth checking out, what are they facing in their industry? What are we all facing in an industry where the system is corrupt? And the less we say about it, the more corrupt it gets. So that's the point of me going off like this, and hopefully you going off in your own ways. But here we are, a nice, peaceful, chilled out, relaxed people. So don't get in anyone's face. Get something in their pocket. Get something in their mailbox. Get something on their car, and don't discuss it unless they necessarily want to, because, it's not your place. To get in someone's face or space, especially when we're all in this headspace. We were raised here, so let's deal with it successfully. And locally, the people doing that are, among others, Press4Truth.ca, excellent journalism company. Take a look at their G20 coverage. That just happened in Toronto. We're supposed to forget about it and enjoy the nice weather while we have it. But the problem is that, a bunch of stuff happened. And if we forget about it, a bunch of that stuff might happen again or worse. And we got to protect our city from that stuff happening again. So definitely get on that at pressfortruth.ca. TorontoTruthSeekers.com. About 400 strong right now. Sort of a gang in this city of people that kind of share and semi-publicly or publicly share these ideas. And similar ones anyway, the ones discussed in the show, about the power structure, which could come in handy if they chose to move or if they had to move. And if we had to show the people in charge of the world that you guys got caught. And so because you guys got caught, we're not letting this go and we're not getting taken out. If you guys hadn't got caught, hell, who the hell knows? But because you guys got caught, we got this. And it is what it is. ConspiracyCulture.com, great book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles, as well as to pick up some information on this. Toronto Street News, great paper out there sold by the homeless from the Frank Conspira Sinatra, the chairman of the board, Mr. Victor Fletcher, 10 years deep in the game, scrapping on these issues, including scrapping with the Masons and the Shriners, and living to tell the tale, and he's got many tales to tell. Check out the Toronto Street News by giving a homeless guy $2, getting some good karma and getting some good info. That's it for me, folks. You can reach me at blackkrishna, blackkrishna at gmail.com with any questions, answers, or suggestions, or music you'd like me to play, or whatever. I'm going to leave you with a song about the G20 recommended by my colleague Dan Dix, and then a hip-hop song, and then after that should be some jazz streaming for you for the next few hours. Apologies for the delay in today's show. Don't know where the Mr. Gaskin or his fill-in host is, but we'll make sure you guys are filled in with some jazz soon. It's been the 6th of July, 2010. It is 7:27 in the morning. So, since it's early, have a great day, everybody. Peace out. Guns in my face during the stick up. Maybe 'cause
The girl I thought I trusted was who set the whole shit up. But a fact, I haven't seen them since they locked Big Rich up, I know. But same time, I'm quick to forget. I'm about to roll me up a blunt with my list of regrets.
We had enough of this G20. We had enough of Dalton. We had enough of Harper. Time to get rid of him.
What the fuck is this country coming to? We let the select few act like we dumb fools. 1.3 bill to control the back talk and justify the actions of spending because of black bloc. Now the people ain't feeling that here. HST G20 secret laws all this year. I think it's time we let them know that they tactics ain't working. No more wool over the eyes of the class that are working. To me.
We had enough of this G20. We had enough of Dalton. We had enough of Harper. Time to get rid of him.
What the fuck is this country coming to? We let the select few act like we dumb fools. 1.3 bill to control the back talk and justify the actions of spending because of black bloc. Now the people ain't feeling that here. HST G20 secret laws all this year. I think it's time we let them know that they tactics ain't working. No more wool over the eyes of the class that are working. The media only showing what they want us to see. So we have to press for the truth where the knowledge is free. Grab your copy, the basics, opportunity for fight back. Papers of the people, it's our people that write that. This ain't 86, Fort Pickens, Geronimo. We need to expose the truth, 2010 to Guantanamo. Abuse of power situations and the torture plenty. So come together. Together and your health G20. You need to take the city back, they don't treat us as equal. For this issue, all power to the people. They be the protesters singing no Canada, our home and native land, but they really no fan of us. They handle us in an attempt to dismantle us. No posture searching women, probably got it on camera. Secret laws passed by Dalton, villainous ways. They increase police presence, it's a military state. Public Works Protection Act is a joke. Empowers cops to rent the cops to harass our working folk. Our city cowards rolling masks, rubber bullets and tear gas. But the roots hold the blade of the grass. Catch the metaphor, brothers and sisters. It's time to organize and realize that the system dismissed us. My people getting enraged, locked up in a cage. The hood is just a trap for us. TCHC is a flop, just a front for a cop. No repairs, bed bugs up in the mattress. They don't treat us as equal. Enough of this issue, all power to the people. This grind time and people ain't recession proof. We victims of the system, brainwashing from a youth. They trying to hold us down, putting cops in a school. Can't pay for textbooks, but they can pay a pig or two. You see the politics are holding us down. There's no social change, we're liberals and the PC around. So we need change, but where's the Obama for me? We still got youth in the streets who ain't got nothing to eat. They bail our bags in the industry, no power to the people, even though we can't vote, they never treat us as we equal. So what do we do when the system, corruption and lies, give tax cuts to the rich and higher taxes for the little guys? They make cuts to the library centers and schools and put more pigs in the side. They trying to play us for fools. They tear down the social housing to put up condos, take out the no frills and price drop and put up a Longo. But this ain't no surprise, history shall repeat it. We need to revolutionize and leave the system defeated. I can't take this no more, no more carrying on. So I go iron to these Zion and fire upon our Bobby. We need to take the city back, they don't treat us as equal. Enough of this issue, all power to the people.